This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Hey, it's Michelle Beadle. That's right, the Michelle Beadle. You're welcome. You love talking about sports. I love talking about sports. You know the only thing cooler than talking about sports? Sports! And right now, all your favorite sports are on SiriusXM. I'm talking every NFL game, every game from the NBA, NHL, MLB, every NASCAR race, golf major, major conference college sports, and all the top games in the WNBA. If it gets your heart pumping, it's on SiriusXM. So start your free trial of SiriusXM today. Visit SiriusXM.com/believe.
Hi, this is Kenny Albert. In my spare time, I always enjoy listening to Baseball and Barbecue with Jeff and Len.
From the studios of Baseball and BBQ on Long Island, New York, this is episode number 247. I'm Jeff the Oku Cohen, along with Leonard Aberman, who is also known as Hollywood. We welcome you back to our show, Leonard.
Hollywood! I'm so excited to be here, Jeff. Episode 247. You know, I have to tell you, knowing who was coming up on this show made the week very difficult because I could not wait till we had the chance to let these interviews out because they needed to get out. And Jeff, Bill Donahue, for those who don't know who Bill Donahue is, Bill Donahue has a podcast called WGBB Sports Talk New York. You'll hear during the interview, I think he's fantastic and should be a commentator, an interviewer on one of the major networks. But that's just me. I really think he's very talented. And I'm so glad that we had him on. We've run into him at so many events. So I'm glad that he's with us. But Jeff, that's just the baseball part of the show. We've got barbecue, too. Who's our barbecue guest?
And he is Greg Taylor of Grilled John Barbecue out of South Jersey. Jersey's a big Philly fan. And we're going to talk about barbecue. We're going to talk about the Phillies. That was a very great interview. So, stay tuned for that.
Yeah. So there we go. We've got baseball. We've got barbecue. And now I want to tell everyone that we've got Bet Online, which is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season, from baseball, golf, soccer, right to all the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BLEAV. That's BLEAV for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit. up to $250. Bet online. The game starts here.
And Leonard, how are we going to start?
Let's get right to it. Bill Donahue of WGBB Sports Talk New York. Welcome, Bill. Baseball and barbecue listeners, if you're familiar with the original Batman movie, you know, the one I'm talking about with Jack Nicholson as the Joker, he says he has the coolest toys. Well, our guest has the coolest guests, and we've wanted to have him on for a long time. We run into him at functions, and every time we say, we got to have you on. So we're finally making it happen. He has his own show, and it is actually called Sports Talk New York. It's on WGBB Radio, which is an amazing station in Merrick, New York. The only fear I have is that after you hear this interview with him, you'll stop listening to our podcast and listen to his. So no. Please don't do that. But we would love to welcome our guest to the Baseball and Barbecue Show, and that is Bill Donahue. Bill, welcome. We're very honored that you joined us.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. I'm glad to be here, finally.
Welcome, Bill. Yes, and Leonard's absolutely right. You have an impressive list of guests. And before we find out how you get all these amazing people, how did you get started in the sports talk business?
Well, I went to SUNY Oswego. I was a broadcasting major there. I was on the radio station. I was the anchor man on the TV news. I got involved in a lot of extracurriculars at school. After I graduated, I think I overshot myself because I turned down a lot of positions in favor of looking for something in the talent section. Now, people tell me I have a face for radio, which is probably true. So I wasn't going to be anchoring anywhere. I took a job at Merrill Lynch. And, you know, you become comfortable and the paycheck is coming in. So I stayed there for 20 years and I worked in the financial field. I met Rob Cole, the manager at WGBB one morning. He invited me to come down. And I've been doing this for 11 years. And as they say, the rest is history. And I'm enjoying myself immensely.
Well, Bill, we enjoy listening to you. But, you know, because, Bill, when I listen to your show and I hear the guests that you have on and your interview style, which I think is a little bit like us, you're very personable. When you talk to your guests, you're not controversial. You don't talk down to them. Maybe that's why you're not on like a major network because, you know, but I hear you and I'm like, you could be a host on, in New York, it would be FAN, ESPN Radio, something like that. Although there's now other things as well. Do you ever think about that? Before we get into all the guests that you've had, do you ever think about that? And is it possible that maybe even now you could have your own show on a bigger network?
To be honest, no, it doesn't occur to me because I'm happy doing what I'm doing, where I'm doing it. I'm not young. I'm 64 years old. I'll be 65 in July. I don't think there's many openings for a 65-year-old guy in any radio station. Besides that, I as you know, I have an interview-based show. I don't rant and rave about the Knicks, the Nets, the Islanders, the Rangers, the Mets. As you say, I stay away from controversy. I enjoy interviewing my subjects. I was told by somebody that I have a casual, easy way of settling the guests down, talking very conversationally with them. They feel at ease. And this, in turn, is sent out to the listener who feels that way as well. And I'm just happy doing what I'm doing.
You have seen so much in sports. When you talk to these guests, a lot of their careers you have seen. Isn't it a shame that we're saying, or you're saying that, you know, you're going to be 65 and there's no place? I think that somebody like yourself has a place, but that's me. And look where I am. So, but that's I'm just saying that I wouldn't let age enter into it, because I think that your experience, and I hear when you talk to your guests that you've seen these things, and it's not just, you're not just reading about it. You actually have witnessed it.
Yeah, I agree with that. And don't worry, you guys have found a niche and you're doing a great job yourselves. But as you know, I like the retired ball players. I like the older guys, as you say, because I've witnessed their careers. They're a lot easier to talk to. They're a lot easier to get a hold of than a current guy. A current guy doesn't want to come on. The teams don't want to give them to you unless you're a WFAN or something like that. The only current player that I've had is Kyle Finnegan from the Washington Nationals, their bullpen ace, because I happen to know his cousin. And Kyle was gracious enough to come on with me. And I thought for a current ball player that was very, very nice of him. There's a guy named Logan Ohapi that catches for the Anaheim Angels. He graduated from my high school, which is St. John the Baptist over in West Islip. And I had him on the show when he was with in the minor leagues in the Phillies system. I called him back to see if he'd like to come on the show. He was shocked he didn't remember me, first of all. He was shocked that I had his cell phone number, which he had given me. And he sent me right away, go through my agent, which kind of left a bad taste in my mouth, like, come on, dude, remember where you came from, you know? So that's what I feel. That's the story of that.
A quick side note. You mentioned Logan Ohapi. We have a friend who works for the California Angels in spring training who's friendly with Mr. Ohapi's parents. So we thought it would be a good story to get the mom or dad on.
Right.
So we contacted them, but they never came on. But we almost had Logan's parents on our show. So.
Yeah, they are prevalent on X. People say now that I'm on X. They think it's something illicit,
right?
But it is the new Twitter, as we know. But his parents are always posting accolades of what he's done. Uh-huh. Hit a home run, or he's got a bobblehead coming out. I always tell people, I told Daryl Strawberry, you know you've made it when you either have a bobblehead or you've been on The Simpsons. And Daryl has done both. So he's truly made it. But as far as Logan goes, yeah, his parents are out there. I'm sure if you contact them on Twitter, they'd be responsive.
Oh, I'll give it a try next time. You know, your name of your show is Sports Talk New York.
Right.
Obviously, mostly New York-based. But you have guys from, and we're a baseball show. I know you cover all sports, but on a baseball show, you've had other guests, non-New York baseball guests like Omar Vizquel and Kurt Bevacqua, Ron Say, right. Daryl Knowles, who didn't he pitch 7 games in the World Series?
Yes,
the pitcher,
he did.
And Scott Spezio. So you know, even though your name is in New York, you're not a New York baseball show, I should say.
No, the other guys on the station take care of that. Like I said, I don't rant and rave about the teams and what they're doing or what they should be doing. I like an interview-based show. It doesn't make my bosses ecstatic that I do that, and especially when I go and get a musical guest or something like that. They put up with it. I like it, and I'm working on a few other surprises coming up.
Yeah, well, actually, you mentioned that. You do have non-sports guests on, and one I enjoyed that you had recently was Ken Thibodeau, who is not, I'm assuming he's not related, maybe he is, to the basketball coach.
No.
But Ken Thibodeau, for anyone that is old enough to remember, played Little Ricky on the I Love Lucy show.
Right.
And then he was also on the Andy Griffith show. I loved that interview. I mean, I was actually upset when it ended because there was so many more things I wanted to hear about. And it was very interesting. His life changed. Like he became born again. Hearing about him on the I Love Lucy show and his association with Ron Howard then on the Andy Griffith Show. That was really good. So how do you decide? Sports people I get, but like Ken Thibodeau, I mean, you know, Little Ricky on the Lucy Show. How's that happen? And where you get something like that, or even know to have someone like that?
I dig is the basic response to that. I take pride in finding people and finding athletes that are kind of reclusive or not readily known or something like that. I comb social media for these guys on Twitter, on LinkedIn, on Facebook, and contact them that way. Not everybody's positive, but I try. If you don't try, you know, like they say, nothing ventured, nothing gained. So yeah. I try everybody. I've even tried George Bush, George W. Bush, and they politely told me no. So I didn't expect him, but, you know.
Well, you know, it's funny, Bill, you say that because it's true. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. I always go back to the fact we had Sandy Alderson on.
Nice.
And we happened to be driving from a card show. And the person in the car with us said, you know, I got Sandy Alderson's cell phone number. Next thing you know, we're calling him. He's answering. And we're booking him on the show. You're right. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. You would have never thought that that would have happened. So it's
right. It's good. I don't go to card shows anymore because I kind of got addicted to the autograph collecting business and spent a lot of money that way. This was back in the 80s and 90s when people like Mickey Mantle and Joe DiMaggio were signing at places like Hofstra and New York City. And National Pastime was the group that used to run the shows. But that's a good way. That the thing is, if you're at a card show, you have to be quick because they want to get to the next guy.
Right.
I meet people in Cooperstown. We go to inductions every year, and there's people signing on the street. Last year, I ran into Jack Clark. Now, he gave me his contact information, but he didn't want to come on the show when I called him, which was kind of funny, I thought, because he was very receptive to me when I met him on Main Street in Cooperstown. But again, the Hall of Famers are tough. I've had a few, but they're tough.
Yeah, they have to write a book. Because that's how we got Jim Cott when he came on. We were excited when he came on. Our first Hall of Famer. Of course, he wrote a book. I mean, excellent book. I mean, really enjoyed it. But, right. You know, when they have something to sell, they'll come on.
They're more receptive. Yes.
Yes. And I agree with you. I do all the same tactics that you do. And sometimes they hit. Sometimes they don't. I mean, I tried getting Al Roboski on and Rex Hudler, you know, and you just don't even respond.
No.
Yeah, but we did get a good one with Dave Magadan, which is going to come out in a couple of weeks. So, you know, we were able to interview him, so that was a good one.
Good. Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. I'll look forward to hearing that. Yeah, good guy.
Yeah, yes. So, you know, let me ask you, I mean, how do you get such a robust Rolodex? I mean, it's just you have great names that you that you have contacts with.
Just keep combing. I keep on social media, keep searching. You hear of a guy that Gary Cohen or Keith Hernandez mentioned, try to find him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you see who's broadcasting. Mike Shannon, I had on a few times. God rest his soul. He was very good to have on. Anybody. I just will not leave any stone unturned.
Now, is there a particular guest that you had on that was, I guess, better than expected? And then vice versa, that you said, oh, this guy was a real drag?
Yeah, Senator Bill Bradley was I look at that as one of my crowning moments. And he was absolutely marvelous. We not only delved into the political arena a little bit, but I called him Dollar Bill, which I asked his permission. I said, okay, Dollar Bill, let's get to the hardwood now. You know, right. And we talk Knicks basketball, which he's of course great at.
Oh yeah.
Most of the people are good. Most of the people are good. There's a few. Kevin Mitchell, a little angry, I thought. Not at me, but at something. Mm-hmm. Came off kind of like that. The worst ever was Sean Avery on the New York Rangers. One word answers, and then he refused to talk at all. So I tried to stick it out for 15 minutes, and then I said, thanks a lot. Sorry, I'll see you. You know, it was, and he had a book, but it was absolutely horrible. It was one of the worst experiences I've had on the air.
You know, Bill, Jeff said Jim Cott was our first Hall of Famer, but that was Baseball Hall of Fame. You know, right. we've had Barbecue Hall of Famers. Did you know that there is a Barbecue Hall of Fame?
No, where is it?
It's out there in cyberspace.
Right. There's no physical location yet, but, you know, like the New York State Baseball Hall of Fame, they didn't have a physical location until recently. So maybe that'll happen. So that brings me to my next question. Have you had any barbecue guests on, any famous pitmasters or anything like that?
No, nothing like that yet because I don't know them. I wouldn't, you know, I don't know where to go with that. But I want to mention something about the New York State Hall of Fame. As you guys know, I met you up there last November, and I think I'm not going back again because the person who runs it, I approached them about Bud Harrelson. I thought if there's anybody who deserves to be in the New York State Baseball Hall of Fame, it's Bud Harrelson. Not only his work with the Mets as a player, coach, and manager, but his work bringing baseball to Long Island, which he told me was the highlight of his career, bringing professional baseball to Long Island so successfully with the Long Island Ducks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The gentleman who runs the show up there told me it's not going to happen. He's not going to be considered for the Hall of Fame. Kind of left a bad taste in my mouth. So I'll let that be.
Interesting. Okay. I would assume he was already in, but
he's in the Suffolk County Sports Hall of Fame with Boomer and a couple of other guys that you'd know.
Yeah, let's talk about Buddy for a second, because look, you were about the same age. Buddy was the glue of that infield. Loved Buddy Harrelson. He unfortunately passed away earlier this year due to Alzheimer's. Mets are wearing a patch for him on their uniform.
Right.
Had another great New York Met part of the 69 team, 73 team, and that was Jerry Grody. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of disappointed the Mets did not have a patch for him, too.
I had mentioned that on social media, that he deserved recognition being the longtime Met, 69, 73, handled all those pitching staffs so deftly. And as Johnny Bench mentioned, if Jerry Grody was on the Reds, he'd be playing third base. So exactly. To me, coming from the greatest catcher of all time, I think a compliment like that is something that people shouldn't take lightly. And I thought they should have did something for Jerry Grody. Yes, I agree.
100%. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen it before on uniforms, but unfortunately, two well-known players passed away, and they have patches on. Why the Mets didn't do this for Jerry Grody is beyond me. I have no idea why.
I've seen teams, and you've seen teams, with multiple patches on.
Yeah.
Two or three.
Sure.
And what's wrong with that?
Yep.
Take off New York Presbyterian. Oh, no, we can't do that.
Bill, you recently had the great Doc Gooden on, mm-hmm. who had his number retired by the Mets. That was a great interview. When you're having someone like that, and I know you are a Met fan, and he, you know, whatever, say what you will about off the field and, you know, the substance abuse and all that, he was one of the best Met pitchers there ever was,
right.
and had a season like very few others have ever had. When you're having someone like that, are you nervous when you're going to interview him, or do you even get nervous anymore? Or did you ever get nervous? And
yes.
Okay. And line of questioning. Now, are you, because you know you're going to have him for a limited amount of time, right? The most you're going to have him probably is the half hour. Your show's an hour, but usually your guests are split, right? Half hour each.
Right.
So tell me when you were going to have Doc Gooden, how you came up with your line of questioning.
That's a tough one. I basically went through memory and spoke about his days in Tampa, his days with his cousin, Gary Sheffield, the influence that his father had on his career. Yeah.
That was big.
Yeah.
That was definitely very big. He talked about
that,
right?
With the both of them, with Gary and with Doc. as you say, the 85 season was something unbelievable. As the broadcasters in the booth say, Ron Darling mentions it, that the whole city would light up and turn on to a Doc Gooden start. Shea Stadium would be packed. And it was truly an event. And I wasn't really nervous talking to Doc. I did mention some bumps in the road, as I did with Omar Vizquel. But when I do that, I do it very, very graciously and very easily. I don't come off and say, hey, you know, you remember when you missed the Mets parade, you know, or something like that. Not like Chris Farley interviewing Paul McCartney or something like right. that. The two nervous ones that I could think of was Bill Bradley kind of put me off, but he you know, intimidated me, which he settled me down pretty quick because he was very down to earth. And if you watch his documentary, you'll see that. Also, surprisingly, Howie Rose made me nervous because it was early in my career when his book came out. And it's just that maybe hearing his voice so much, it was like interviewing somebody you knew. But still, you know, it hit home. And I was kind of nervous talking to Howie.
I tried to get Howie on. Try to contact him. He didn't respond, but I played the, you know, we're both from Bayside kind of thing, you know, come on.
Yeah.
Try to no, he, do that angle.
he wrote his book in the teens, I think it was. And I go through the publishers a lot. That you can do is check the publishers out.
Yeah.
He was nice enough to come on, but after that, as you say, no response. And he's cutting everything back. I think he just wants to be anonymous, you know, yeah. Coming up shortly.
Sure. Last year, you had a couple of people on, Rick Dempsey and Tom House. Rick Dempsey, mm-hmm. obviously, from the Baltimore Orioles, the 83 World Series MVP. And Tom House, who you put in your show notes, is, by the way, do you do your show notes? You're the only one that does it?
No, I think that's done by Rob.
Okay.
Yeah.
He said, he puts down the father of modern pitching mechanics. I'm not sure if Tom House wants to be labeled that way because pitching today, not too good.
No, I think he means before the current days.
Ah, yeah. Yes.
yeah, he was very interesting. As you say, a doctor of pitching, so to speak. And Rick Dempsey was just, he was pretty funny. He's a character. And it's nice having guys like that on the show. Like John Gibbons was like that too. John Gibbons is kind of like a very easygoing, but you don't want to get him angry, as you could see on YouTube from his days with Toronto Blue Jays.
Okay, right.
But two characters right there.
Well, you don't want to get Wally Backman angry either.
Oh, I've had Wally. Yeah,
I know you
I've
have.
Had Wally
yes, you have.
One or two times. I forgot about him. I should try to get him back. I don't know where he is. It's probably out in Oregon, but he was good.
But you've seen the videos when you get don't get him angry.
Yeah. What was the team he was with? The Peanuts or something?
I think the Peanuts,
like
Lugnuts, yeah. The Peanuts or something.
Yeah, and yeah, that was wild. I like the Tommy Lasorda videos on Kingman and on Kurt Bavakwa.
Oh sure, classic.
Hey, Kurt. He couldn't hit the water if he fell out of a boat or what?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'd want to take a limo and go pick him up to make sure he's in the lineup, you know, stuff like that. And Kingman, I think somebody asked him, what'd you think of Kingman's performance today? He hit like three homers against the Dodgers.
Yeah. Yeah.
What did I think of Kingman? What the blank you think?
That happens to be Paul Olden, who's now the PA announcer of the Yankees. And and we had him on.
Good. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had Tommy on. He was pretty good. But one controversial thing he brought up was the length of the speeches in Cooperstown, because those guys have to sit on the stage while all these guys give their speeches. And I remember John Smoltz that year was a little long-winded. I said, Tommy, What do you think of the festivities in Cooperstown? And he mentioned, oh, some of these guys talk a little long, you know. And I said, what about Smoltzy? Did he go on too long? I thought so, he said. Another good one I want to mention was Ernie Banks. Now, Ernie Banks gets on the phone, and we exchange salutations. He starts singing As Time Goes By on the show. Mm. And I have to dig that one out of the archives. Oh, wow. I think I found it when he passed away, but that was a golden moment with Ernie Banks.
Bill, who's your white whale? Which guy have you really want to get? And I'll tell you, and then I'll tell you ours.
Oh, gee. I've gotten most of the guys. I've been looking for Boog Powell. I got him. There's a couple of guys, and they're not responsive. Most of the guys I try for, I can't think of them now. That was one. Boog Powell was one, and I finally got a hold of him. What about you guys?
Well, our white whale is Willie Randolph's. We tried several times, different ways. We wrote a letter to his house, and nothing.
But I've written letters a few times, and none of them were. One of them was to Oscar Gamble. I figured, let me try for Oscar Gamble. He's got to be entertaining.
Sure.
And I never got an answer back. I sent the self-addressed envelope, everything. Not a word.
You know, Bill, you mentioned Hall of Fame. The Euchre speech is probably one of the best.
I would love to get him, but I don't think it's possible. I tried for Vin Scully just to try, and they told me, no, how about Lasorda? So I took him. Not a bad trade-off at all. Yeah.
Not bad. I'm going to bring up one point again, because I'm listening to you talking about Doc Gooden. My opinion is hearing you speak to Doc, having witnessed that season, being a Met fan, I forget being a Met fan, but having witnessed that season was a better interview than having someone, and I'm not saying they're very good people now, you know, in their 20s, 30s, but they would interview him and they're not speaking from experience. So again, not to beat a dead horse, but I really enjoyed it because I think part of it was hearing you talk about your enjoyment of his career added something to it.
I agree. I agree with you. And you guys have experience, as you say. You know, you've seen it. Mm-hmm. Some of these younger guys that have podcasts, I don't know how they do it. I mean, I used to have guys at the station. One of them has a job on doing a podcast. I won't mention his name. But he used to dumpster dive for my telephone numbers, used to go through, and because he had Tommy John once right after I had Tommy John. So from now on, my engineer comes in and hands me my telephone numbers before I go home. I don't want, you know, I'll help somebody if they ask, but I don't want somebody ripping me off, basically, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, Bill, you go to the studio where the studio.
Beautiful downtown Merrick.
Yes. It's on Merrick Avenue, and it's the corner, that building on the corner of Merrick and Smith Street, which is that building that you can park underneath. Funny building that the parking lot is under the building. And I go there on Sunday. I usually arrive for an 8 o'clock show, about quarter after seven, do a little last minute prep. And just sit and relax for a while.
So your guests are calling in, then they're not using Zoom.
No, yeah, I do everything via phone. I try to get the numbers from them because I've been stood up by people that are supposed to call in. I always try to get the number because this way your fate is in your own hands.
Yeah, well, that's terrific, and I want to tell everyone that we're speaking to Bill Donahue. His show is called Sports Talk New York. It's on WGBB. But if you are not in this area, not in the New York area, and a lot of our listeners are all over the country, the great thing is you can get his show as a podcast. So, and I'm going to assume that most of your listeners are in podcast form.
Well, the thing is, it's not a blowtorch, WGBB, like The Fan or some of the stations in New York City. It's only 1,000 watts. So if you're driving down Sunrise Highway, I've lost it before I hit my house in Suffolk County. You can get it, as you say, on the podcast on sportstalknewyork.com. The next day, usually it's out there. Online, the live stream from the WGBB website, and also via the TuneIn app that you can download on your tablet, smartphone, and you could take me with you. The TuneIn app is good. That's used by people all over the country.
Bill, you're obviously a big, huge baseball fan. You've seen a lot of changes in baseball. How do you like Manfred baseball?
Some things I don't care for. I think the pitch clock has been kind of positive. I don't see any problem with it, unlike Max Scherzer does. I know he hates it, and he's voiced that opinion many times. I just don't see the pizza box bases as being any advantage. I mean, why? You know, it's ridiculous. The shift, outlawing the shift, what did you do? You prevented a guy from moving another 20 feet. That's negligible. But I think he's trying to leave his own mark on the sport. They'll vote him in the Hall of Fame someday for it, just like they did with Bud Selig, who, as we know, presided over the whole steroid era with a blind eye.
Sure. Sure. Same thing with Billy Kuhn, who wasn't a great shake either.
Some questionable moments as well, and he's a Hall of Famer.
Sure.
Bill, stolen bases are up. And yes, there are some very fast. You know, Ellie De La Cruz would be a stolen base leader no matter when he played, whether the pitcher could throw over twice, 10 times, it wouldn't matter. The guy is fast. But and I know the game changes and, you know, stats. I mean, even you have people that argue, you know, look, when like Babe Ruth played when it was just, I'd say it, but it was white guys playing and that was it. And so that changes. It's hard to compare these statistics and look at these guys and say, oh, he's got all these home runs and all these stolen bases in the same month. And because the rules are so different, they're tinkering so much with the game. Pitch clock, okay. The other rules, I have issues with them. Maybe because I'm older now. I'm not an old coot like Jeff. Did you know his nickname is Old Coot, by the way, on the show? OC?
No. Does he mind like Dollar Bill that I dropped that one on him?
I think he's proud of that name. But, you know, so what's your feeling on that?
Oh, well, as you say, it's a different game. I mean, the pitcher can't throw over three times. So, of course, the guy's got a huge lead and he's going to steal. Look at the Mets this year. I think it's 40 out of 41 steals on them.
Yeah, I didn't think they'd ever throw anyone out.
It's ridiculous. It's really ridiculous. And a way that you can see clearly that the game has changed is if you get up early in the morning and you have the MLB channel and you watch the show Quick Pitch, which is hosted always by a very lovely young lady. Not the reason I tune in, folks. Don't get any ideas. But you watch the show, and it's like Home Run Derby. Here it is. Let's show all the home runs that took place in that game. That's basically it. Home runs and strikeouts. And that's what we're doing today. You watch Pete Alonso. We struck out three times today. The poor guy's in a slump, but that's the way the game is going now. And you'd have guys breaking records if they pitched more than five innings.
Yeah, right. Well, obviously the game is never going to go back, and there's always go forward. Speaking of going forward, Bill, what can we look forward to you coming up?
Well, this Sunday I have Evan Roberts from The Fan on. He's written a new book on the he scores, as you know, if you listen to him, he scores a lot of Met games. He scores every time he goes. So he's got a book about scoring Met games and his experience being a Met fan. I also have Peter Golenbach, another author. It's what I call an author show. Mm-hmm. He's got a new book called Baseball Heaven that I'm going to speak to him with, a very fine author, Peter. He's written several books. And then I have a gentleman called Pete Bachman, who is presiding over Pickleball and Music Festival taking place in Unkersville. And it benefits Wounded Warriors and the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. So I thought I'd give them a plug, have them on the show, and give some publicity to that event, because I feel it's very worthwhile. After that, working on my sports guests, but I'm gonna have Rusty Anderson, the guitar player with Paul McCartney's band. If you've ever seen or heard them, very tight band, and of course Paul would probably accept nothing less. And I'm gonna have Rusty. He's had a stellar career, great musician. I'm gonna be talking to him and.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, Bill, why don't you tell us where people can find you, follow you, and, you know, where your show can be heard?
Sure. I am on Twitter. It's at B Donahue WGBB, all one word, at B Donahue WGBB. That's where I am on X. On Facebook, I have a page called The Talk of New York Sports. You can find show information, photos, interesting articles, everything there on that site. I'm on LinkedIn, Bill Donahue. I am, of course, on WGBB probably every other Sunday night. And you can get that program. WGBB is 1240 AM, 95.9 FM if you're in the listening area. If you're out of the listening area, you can get the show on the WGBB website, streaming live. And also, as I mentioned, the TuneIn app. You can download the TuneIn app, which is free, and you can get the radio station anywhere in the world.
Well, that's fantastic. Yes. Bill, thank you very much for being a guest on Baseball and BBQ. Really appreciate
it. Thank you. Thank you for having me, gentlemen. I really enjoyed it. I appreciate it very much.
Hi, this is Gary Mack of the Mets Musings podcast. And if you like barbecue and you like baseball, then you have to listen to Baseball and BBQ with Jeff and Len. They always have the best guests from the world of baseball and the world of barbecue, all in one little package. So check it out. Baseball and BBQ with Len and Jeff. Okay, guys, take it away.
Thank you, Bill Donahue, for joining us on Baseball and BBQ. I love his show. I listen to as much as I can, and he really gets some great people on there.
He does. And what I love is, you know, you never know who he's going to get. I mean, that interview that he had with Little Ricky, the guy who played Little Ricky, who would have expected that? Mm-hmm. I highly recommend everybody listen to his show. It's kind of like ours, as far as you just never know who the guests are going to be, and they surprise you. So, thank you very much, Bill. And Jeff, you know what else is, well, it's not a surprise, because you're going to love their products, and it won't surprise you how much you're going to love them, but baseballbbq.com.
Oh, them. Yes.
Yeah. A surprise. Grilling tools and accessories, baseball bat handles, cutting boards shaped like home plate, baseball jerseys engraved with whatever you want on them. You're going to love it. Go to baseballbbq.com. You know, we're right in the thick of grilling season, and you want to have the best tools you can. So go there. You're going to love it.
I use mine all the time. And if you want to reach the show, give us a call, 516-855-8214. Our Instagram is Baseball and Barbecue, with barbecues all spelled out. Our email is baseballandbbq@gmail.com. We have a Facebook at Baseball and BBQ. Leave a comment on it, X at Baseball and BBQ. Our website is www.baseballandbbq.weebly.com. Please rate, review, follow, subscribe, tell your friends, all that fun stuff.
Jeff, I want to just say, I'm sorry. Somebody was interviewing me as I was doing this podcast. I lost focus for a second. Now, is that too much of a stretch? I want to just make sure that people get what I'm saying. If they don't, go back to our last episode. I had an observation regarding the players being interviewed during the game. So maybe it's a stretch, but I wanted to somehow bring it back to last episode, because I hope people have heard that, because there was an error made shortly after we did that.
It was.
Right?
There was
an error. And I just wanted to bring that up. We said, what happens if an error is made? The guy was being interviewed. Ball dropped right between them, didn't it?
It did. And listen, I'm on a Facebook group. I'm not going to say which one, but I was mocked for saying they should not do these interviews. And they go, oh, it's fun. You know, but you know, fun police. You know what? It's just too bad that it wasn't between Francisco Lindor and Mark Vientos where that ball dropped. Because then I would have liked to have seen all the other reaction. Oh, they shouldn't interview with people on the field, blah, blah, blah. You know?
Right.
It's all fun and games when it happens to your team, right?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So, but you know, it is fun and games. Well, before we get to that fun and games, our guest is, you've got something for us.
Baseball quote of the week.
Baseball is a mirror in which we can see the whole of America. Political, social, racial, everything. And a story is an odyssey that helps tell us who we are. Because how we play is also who we are. That is film documentarian Ken Burns, who produced the baseball on PBS series.
Oh, what a great documentary that was. Yeah, great quote, great documentary. And Jeff, our next guest, Greg Taylor from Grill John, barbecue lover, baseball lover, big Philly fan. Let's listen. So I've got a question for our listeners. Is our next guest a baseball fan that likes to barbecue, or is he a barbecue enthusiast that enjoys their baseball? Either way, they equate to being a perfect guest for this show, as their two fandoms make for some very interesting online content. And since everyone has a story, we hope theirs will be of interest to everyone. Baseball and barbecue is glad to be joined by Greg Taylor from Grill John and the Fandemic crew. We welcome a Phillies fan, Greg Taylor, to Baseball and Barbecue. Welcome, Greg.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. It's an honor to be here. Can't wait to discuss two of my favorite topics.
All right. Well, the Phillies are doing great this year. They're in first place, and you know, they might be running away with the National League East.
Well, I mean, we do have a tough July ahead of us. You know, everybody's knocking the Phillies as well. They haven't played anybody over 500. Well, that's true. We don't make the schedule up. You know, last year, our schedule to this point in the season was so, so tough. You know, and the Braves ran away with everything. It's kind of like, you know, the Braves and the Phillies flip-flop schedule. I do hope, fingers crossed here, that the Phillies do, you know, stand their ground here. But at the same time, I do expect them to get a little bit closer, you know, down in, you know, definitely towards late September, late August, early September.
All right. So let's start with barbecue first. Sorry, Dan Lynn. So, you know, I came across your website, grilljohn.com, it's J-A-W-N, and I found it pretty interesting. You have your family here, your wife, Allie, and your dog, Cleo. Yep. They're Grill John. So how did you come up with Grill John Barbecue, and what got you into all barbecue?
So, I mean, my origins of barbecue start back being a kid. You know what I mean? I remember going like to my, you know, I was fortunate enough to grow up in a small town in North Jersey where my whole family lived in close proximity. And every Sunday we would go over to my grandmother's house, and my uncle Tom or my uncle Duke, they would fire up the grill, you know, and then that smell of charcoal would hit you, and it, you know, it brings me back. Right. So, you know, I've been a barbecue enthusiast my whole life. I've been able to travel a whole lot for work. So I've been able to go to a lot of great places. And it's just one of those things that barbecue and family, they go hand in hand. So Allie and I love spending lots of time in the backyard with Cleo, you know, cooking as often as we can. And if you don't know the origins of the word John is a Philly slang term that means anything. You can use it as, you know, I'm going to go buy that John. Oh, I'm going to eat that John. I grill the John, I guess. You know, Philly shirts have hit that John. So John's one of those great slang terms that in Philadelphia that means whatever you want it to be. It's kind of like a schmear, you know, like up North Jersey, you get a schmear of this or a schmear of that. Right. You know, it is what it is, right? And if you know what it is, then you know what it is. If not, people just look at you crazy.
So you have a website, very interesting. It is grilledjohn.com. And you've got some articles on here. You've written all these articles, and one of them will be of interest to our listeners because is 3-1-1 ribs the new way?
Oh.
It's not much different than 3-2-1 ribs, but everybody knows about 3-2-1 ribs. And you hear a lot of conflicting reports on that as far as that's kind of really not a great method or whatever. And now you've got 3-1-1 ribs. Is 3-1-1 ribs the new way?
You know, for me, it has been. And I got that idea to do it that way from a pitmaster down here named Chris Apple, who has his own line of rubs called White Bulls Barbecue. And he was always saying, 3-2-1, sometimes, you know, they're overcooked. They get overcooked, you know. And so he came up with the method of doing 3-1-1, but only doing just a little bit hotter in temperature. The steps are the same, but the heat is just different. So I found that, you know, I'm a guy who likes a good tug off the bone rib. I don't like when it just kind of falls all over the place. To me, I kind of think that that's overdone a little bit. You know, it's real mushy and things like I want to be able to sink my teeth into something, get that carnivoristic trait where you can, you know, actually pull it off the bone a little bit. So the 3-1-1 ribs has been very good to me in my backyard, and nobody's complained about that method yet.
Right. Well, again, back to your website, you have a page here that says it's your barbecue grill guy. So I want to know, first of all, how many grills do you have back there? And how did you start reviewing grills?
So I have three back there. I have a vertical Pit Boss smoker.
Good company.
Right. I have a tried and true old trusty gas propane grill that is perfect when you need to get something done. And then I still have the old trusty 22-inch Weber kettle. And that's the workhorse that we use in the backyard. The best thing that I've found with the Weber kettle is there's so many awesome aftermarket attachments for it that it keeps my backyard from looking like Sanford and Son with all this other stuff. Because what I can do now, what I can do now is I bought a Santa Maria attachment for the Weber, and it just sits right on the rim, and I can ring it up, and you know the heat plate goes up and down. I bought a pizza oven attachment for the Weber. It makes great pizzas. It just holds the pizza stone. It's phenomenal. You know so I have three. I would have more if Allie would allow me, but we all know how that goes. So I'm going to stick with three until, I don't know. I've been teasing her that I'm going to buy a hot dog cart and just have a hot dog cart, you know, because I think that's kind of cool. So maybe one day she'll be in the office and a hot dog cart will show up. And surprise.
Now you have a section on here. I'm going to help someone out. You have preferred barbecue rubs and seasoning. You have Meat Church, Blues Hog, and Terry's Black Barbecue.
Yes.
There's a couple you might want to add to that.
There's a lot. There's a lot to add to that. But at the same time, you know, if I say I like everything and I post everything, it kind of means I don't like any, you know, I like nothing. So those are my go-tos. The other go-to that I use is Cosmos SPG, the Cosmos salt, pepper, garlic. That's tried and true. The Loot and Booty. Am I saying that right? Loot and Booty out of Scottsdale, Arizona. Those guys are fantastic. Sterling's a great guy. They make great rubs. So I do love, I am a Blues Hog enthusiast, though. I enjoy their products.
I was going to joke with you, and I was going to say, you should include Doug Scheiding's Road Cookers rubs and Ray Sheehan's his sauces and rubs, just because they are regulars on our show. But
and Ray Sheehan's a Jersey guy too.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Well, I'll have to look him up and place an order, and then I shall report back.
Okay, this is a great website. I got to say, I mean, you've got pictures, you've got recipes. Are these your recipes? You're coming up with these recipes or on your own?
Yeah, they're all our recipes that we've done through trial and error. you know, I typically, you know, have people like a little like notebook on my desk that I usually make a little like just pit notes. Just right. What will I, you know, after every cook, there's always something you wish you would have done, or you wish that you would have said, oh man, you know, if I want to try, I should have tried this or that, you know. I just keep those little notes and just keep perfecting things. The recipes that actually hit the site are the steps that we actually followed. And what I wanted to do is, in my real life, I run a digital marketing agency and a web development company. So I always hated recipe sites that you have to go through and the origin story of this lady's grandmother's flour, why that's important, blah, blah, blah. I wanted to keep it simple. I wanted to make the recipes and post them in a way that anybody can do it, you know. And, it, you know, you get in, you get out, you get in, you get the information, you get out right away with knowing how to do something.
And Greg, also, you've got, this is being a Jersey boy, and you've got a recipe here for tri-tip, which it's not native to our areas. But I suggest everybody give it a try because it is really good. Native to California, really.
Tri-tip speaks to my 22 years of living in the West Coast.
Ah, that would explain it. Okay.
I graduated college from Rutgers University. I moved out west, and I ended up in the San Diego area for a long time. And my uncle, one of the barbecue and baseball influences on me, my Uncle Tom, he lives in San Juan Capistrano. So right out there in Orange County, in the heart of the Santa Maria tri-tip area.
So you went to San Diego. Why would you come back east?
Well, that's a whole other talk show. I don't know how long you guys got. But I tell you what, you know, moving back east to be – I was also the only one out there. I didn't have any family out there other than my uncle who was 70 miles away. Mm-hmm. Moving back east was actually one of the best things I've ever done in my life. I did it in – summer of 2019, and we all know what happened thereabouts in spring of 2020. So I was able to endure the pandemic healthily, you know, with my family. So, you know, thankfully, so I got out of Dodge just in time.
Cool. Very good.
Greg, you've got something. A lot of barbecue. I'm always amazed by cookbooks because they could come up with different recipes, but so many of the things with, you know, barbecue, it's the ribs, the brisket, and then it's different ways to make it. But you've got something on here that I've never seen before. A little bit like, you know, like poppers, because it has cream cheese in it, but pig shots.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us about pig shots. Yeah.
So pig shots are just basically bacon cups with cream cheese and leftover brisket or whatever you want to use. I use chuck in it a lot. And then you basically just smoke it until the bacon is actually done. And it's one of those things that people can't get enough of. You know, I can't make enough of them for a tailgate because people, they're like an anomaly. People see them and they right away and the tray is gone. But it's one of the ones that are more fun to do. It's a multi-step cook, you know, so it's fun for us to do as a family.
Gotcha. You know, also I'm looking here and something I never heard of, so I'm learning something new right now. I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing this wrong, but yakitori grills?
Yep.
Oh, could you talk about that?
So yakitori, the yakitori grill is just basically, you know, I have a cube grill set up. I like to take it on the road a lot for me. And the cube, what it's great for kebabs and skewers. Yep. So yakitori is basically Japanese style cooking meat. So it's a skewer full of thinly sliced chicken and beef. You know, you can put vegetables on it, and it's a perfect size to where the skewer hangs off of each side, so they're easy to turn with tongs, and it is perfect. It's another one of those things that, you know, that you put a little bit of charcoal in the cube grill, and you let it go. You get a heat, and you heat it up. It's perfect for tailgates. It's perfect for travel. We take it almost on almost every vacation we go on.
Yeah, it's like a hibachi. You know, remember the old hibachis? Those things were made. I don't see them anymore, but they were made of the real heavy metal. And, you know, this is like a modern version of it. And I'm looking at the picture of it and I want one of these.
Yeah, they're awesome. I tell you what, just like I said, a little bit of charcoal. You know, the cooking area is small, but when you're making kebabs, you know, they cook so quick and you can make a whole bunch of them at once. So it's it's awesome. And again, we take it on travel when we travel all the time.
Now, you mentioned tailgating. Are you tailgating at the Philly games, Greg?
We do tailgate quite a bunch, but we go, you know, being a season ticket holder and going so often, sometimes it's difficult. You know, like lately, I guess like last Saturday's game, it was 95 and miserable out. Nobody really wants to tailgate then. So weather permitting, we will do about 10 tailgates a year. Mostly we do them with a pandemic crew. And most of the time we'll try to put some kind of nonprofit or charity spin into it, raise money for a good cause and, you know, good time had by all. But I tell you what, tailgating culture in Philadelphia is next level. If you're not ready for it, boy, it is something else.
We're familiar with one of the pitmasters down there, Ruben Harley, who big. Oh, you know about Big Rube.
Big Rube's chicken.
Yeah.
He got the chicken. Yeah.
So I know he tailgates at Philly's game. I know opening day does that. Yeah. So yeah, he's a good guy.
Opening day is great because the weather is usually nice.
Yeah.
You know, although the last 2 years we've gotten rained out and they pushed it back a day, but the weather is usually nice. It's not hot and humid. Mm-hmm. So it's a good time had by all for sure.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if you know, does he know the baseballbbq.com guys?
A guy named Brett Mandel. He's he runs baseballbbq.com.
I know who they are and I've seen them, but I've never actually met or conversed with them. Mm-hmm. They're the one who makes the barbecue tools and the stuff with the logos.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
The logo baseball bat handles. Yeah. Exactly.
Yep.
All right. So Greg, the like I said, the website is beautiful, but
thank you.
A lot of people are into barbecue and they don't make websites. So you've gone a step beyond. What are you looking for? I see you selling shirts and things like that. What's the, it's like a hobby that's you're making some money with, or, you know, is it just, I mean, what do you like to do here and what's the end game?
So, I think Grilled John is my passion project.
Yeah.
Grilled John started with an Instagram account because all of my friends and family were getting tired of seeing all food pictures on my normal Instagram account, which is GR Taylor 2, the number 2. So I'm able to have that to be more of my life and my career and family and travel, where all the food kind of went to one place. So if people wanted to follow me for food. So then the next step was just, we're doing all this great stuff. Why don't we share the information? You know, I believe in free exchange of information. You know, how can I help somebody? How can I help somebody learn how to do it? How can I pass along a recipe? Like some of the recipes, like the baked beans, the smoked baked beans on the website are from my grandmother.
Nice.
You know, so it's like, it's some of that cool stuff. You know, we're just able to help somebody out. It's amazing on how many Facebook forums and barbecue forums there are on Facebook. Somebody's like, I'm looking for a recipe for XYZ. I'm like, oh, I got one. Here it is. And and they're always appreciative that I just share that. So it's a fun project. You know, it makes a little bit of money with the print on demand t-shirts. Not a whole lot. Mm-hmm. I could probably buy a couple cups of coffee a month.
Uh-huh.
But other than that, you know, that's not what it was about. It was really about trying to help people and kind of give back to all the people who so graciously shared the information with me.
And tell us about your partners here. Allie and I guess Cleo is the official taster.
Cleo's a lot of things, but yeah. So Allie's a barbecue enthusiast with me. You know, she helps me as much as, you know, time permits. She has a busy work schedule, so she's in the backyard helping. You know, we've had some of the best holidays together. Like one Easter, we made like an Easter paella outside on the grill. And like, that's, you know, again, a multi-step cook. So, you know, it's a lot of fun and it's always a blast entertaining, planning the menu. And, you know, Allison loves her fresh seafood. So we'll go down to the shore a lot. Where I live, I'm 45 minutes from Margate City in Ocean City, New Jersey. So we'll come back with fresh seafood on a Sunday after we play softball. And then what we'll end up doing is just kind of sit in the backyard, invite family over and just, you know, enjoy our time. Cleo, on the other hand, Cleo is a ball of energy. She was another COVID godsend. We got her 3 days before the shutdown, and she's been the best thing ever. So,
and Greg, you have a recipe. I was just in England for a couple of weeks, and you've got a recipe here for grilled bangers and mash.
Yes. So I wanted to try something a little different. So we were able to go to local butcher here. Well, we get all of our meats from a local butcher here in South Philly. And we'll go ahead and just, you know, try some different things. That's what this website was for. It's for a lot of trial. Try different things. Once we get it down, we'll publish it. And, you know, a lot of people like a lot of it. There are certain things some people aren't fond of, but definitely always fun.
Now, you mentioned you like to travel. I'm wondering if you're trying to do a bucket list like I am, trying to get to all the stadiums. So I've been to about 16, 17 stadiums. So, and I know it looks like the pandemic crew goes on these trips. So why don't you tell us about that?
So, I mean, being a baseball enthusiast, working for a marketing firm in my real life, I'm able to schedule a lot of client meetings on my own schedule that works for the client. So concerts and baseball are my two things that I will schedule some client meetings around. You know, I definitely have, you know, I definitely check the calendar if I'm going to Chicago to see the Cubs at home, or I'll definitely check the calendar when I'm going to San Francisco for work, make sure that the Giants are home, you know, and it's always been a huge part of just, you know, it's always been a huge part of just who I am. Even like growing up, you know, traveling like through college to see different music concerts when I would travel around and do that, we always say, oh, the Royals, we're driving through, the Royals are home, let's go. You know, so it's just one of those things. It's, you know, going and checking out the ballparks across the country is like one of those great American adventures. You know, you get, and my advice to everybody when somebody asks me if I've ever been to a stadium is I always say, try to go when your team is not playing so that you can immerse yourself in like the local culture and you can immerse yourself in the fandom, you know, and all of that, because that makes a great, great experience. You know, you go to Fenway or you go to, you know, Yankee Stadium or City Field, or you go to Wrigley. When your team's not playing, you can really catch the energy that the home crowd is bringing. So that's always my one tip when you're traveling to see stadiums.
That's a good tip, because I went to Wrigley Field this year, and it was the Cubs and I forgot who they played. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It wasn't the Mets.
Right.
And it was just amazing.
It was the Cubs.
Yeah, it was the Cubs. Then until the White Sox play, and the energy wasn't there, but still.
Those Southsiders are different.
Right.
So actually, I wanted to mention this when we started and we were talking about baseball, and then Jeff did something unusual. He brought it back to barbecue, which usually I do that, but we were talking about the Phillies. There were two players. So one, I will take blame where it is appropriate. I did not think that the Phillies should have given Bryce Harper a 13-year deal. But as I'm being proven wrong big time, I mean, he's been everything for the Phillies. And he's for the Phillies as Aaron Judge is for the Yankees. That is...
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then the other one, which I said the Mets should have signed him. They should have never let him go. Zach Wheeler. I said they should have. They did not offer him enough. I had a feeling he was going to just, and he has been everything as well.
You know, the one thing about Bryce, I'll touch on Bryce first, is it took a little while for Bryce to live up to being Bryce Harper here in Philadelphia. There were a couple of those first years where people were in the same, you know, paradigm as you, thinking, I don't know if this is a good deal. This is not going to work out. And then with the MVP year, the pandemic year, then the MVP year and the World Series year, and this year he's off to a tear, you know, other than the hamstring injury the other night. The one thing about Bryce and his family, they actually live kind of close to where we are. So we'll actually see them in town from time to time. But the one thing that he does is he embraces Philadelphia. And Philadelphia is a blue collar workhorse town, show up, shut up, do your job. And I mean, Harper is that, and you know, I don't know if Harper was such a great teammate early on in his career, but boy, sure. Nowadays, he seems to be just one of the best teammates picking up the young kids. And, you know, him having a relationship with our second baseman, Bryson Stott, since Bryson Stott was young, because they both came from Vegas, they came up through the same organizations, you know, has really, really grown on everybody. The thing going into last year's offseason when we were disappointed when we were beat by the Diamondbacks is we all said collectively, we have two jobs to do in the offseason. One, you have to sign Nola. We can't let Nola go to the Braves. We can't let him go to the Dodgers. We can't let him go anywhere. Two, once we sign Nola, we have to extend Wheeler. And that was one of the things that was very, very – that was on everybody's mind was, okay, we got Nola done. Now what about Wheeler? And when Wheeler – and they made Wheeler feel just as important as Nola – in an off, it's not his contract year, which has been fantastic because Zach Wheeler is a workhorse, and Zach Wheeler is he's stoic. He doesn't really acknowledge much out there, but he'll tell you, you know, walking onto the field, you know, he gets the goosebumps from the crowd, from the electricity of the Citizens Bank Park. So, you know, I think Dombrowski did a great job, and again, Mr. Middleton, you know, allowing Dombrowski to do his job. Mm-hmm. With signing players. And the same thing just happened last week when they gave Christopher Sanchez an extension.
Right.
You know, the next one is going to be, you know, Ranger Suarez to see what we do with Ranger. So, I mean, we're, you know, it's when you have a good GM, a shrewd GM or president of baseball operations, whatever he is, and an owner who's willing to believe in what's being put in place, you know, a lot of good things can happen.
I figured Wheeler was going to be on his way to Atlanta since he's from the area. So
yeah.
And I hear doesn't Harper want an extension? I mean,
Harper does
10 years left on his contract. He wants an extension.
Yeah, I think he has. So he signed in 2017. So yeah, he has 8 years left. So I mean, here's the thing: you win a World Series. I mean. You reward the guy, you know, Mr. Middleton was, you know, he said in one of the post game interviews in the World Series run that however much he paid Bryce, he feels like he underpaid, you know, I mean, he's just, when you're that important to the city and you're that important to a team and you're just that important to the fans and you embrace everybody, you know, guys like that don't come around, especially in Philadelphia. You know, I mean, you guys have watched baseball long enough to know people come, people, it's like New York, you know, people come. People go, you know, you have the highest expectations of them in spring training and they don't pan out and they end up parting ways.
Yep.
I was just going to say, Greg, you're wearing a shirt that says 46,026. We're talking about Bryce Harper. Why don't you just tell everyone that it's his audio only, but tell everybody what the significance of that number is.
So Citizens Bank Park holds about 46,000 people. And one of the announcers asked, it was either Stott or Harper. And they said, well, you have all 46,000 people in back of you in the playoffs. What's it like? And he said, we have 46,026 because don't forget the guys in the dugout. So that's the significance of the 46,026. So this is a present from Alice and Allie. It just showed up at the house. One of those great presents is it shows up at the house one day.
So I was going to ask you about, tell us about the Fandemic crew. I mean, it looks like you go on trips together to different places, kind of like the Mets have the seven line. They go to different places.
Sure.
And also, you know about the seven line. We invaded Philadelphia once or twice.
Yep.
And so tell us about the Fandemic crew and how they got started.
So the Fandemic crew is a bunch of, you know, like-minded, diverse individuals, you know, open, you know, we're open to anybody coming and joining us. It all started in 2020 during the pandemic when nobody was allowed to watch baseball inside of the stadiums. Remember they had the cardboard cutouts inside the stadium. Sure. Well, there's one spot in the gate in Ashburn Alley in the outs from the sidewalk that you can look in and you can see home plate. Brett McMahon and Oscar Alvarado got together and they just started assembling there. And they would bring air horns and ladders, and they're bringing a TV. everybody caught on and they would keep coming. And it just grew and grew and grew to some nights having 40 people outside watching a baseball game through the gate, listening to it on the radio. And it was one of the testaments to how baseball brings people together. And, you know, we're all from different backgrounds. You know, Oscar runs a Home Depot warehouse. Brett's a teacher. We have a couple of a husband, wife in the crew who are like who are surgeons. We have a principal. You know, we have nurses. I'm a marketing guy. We have everybody, you know, and we all come together now and sit in one section in Citizens Bank Park in section 301. That's where Fandemic Crew is. And they still bring the air horns. They still bring the drums. They still, you know, we try to do as much for charity as possible. You know, we have an initiative going on right now from one of the families, from the Overmeyer family. Beth Overmeyer and her son, Nolan Snyder, pledged in Beth's mother's honor since she passed away to pledge $100 for every triple that the Phillies hit. So we've since opened it up to the public to also make donations. And I think we're at about $5,000 right now.
Nice.
And our goal is 10. All the proceeds goes to support the Pennsylvania SBCA, where Betty, it's called Betty's Triples, where Betty Overmeyer was a huge supporter. And you can find that information at thefandemiccrew.com/triples. It's awesome. It's just awesome to be a part of.
And the crew is spelled with a K. So just everybody, when they look it up.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's the crew is spelled with a K after Bryce Harper's son, Crew.
Oh, okay. Did not know.
Yeah. And Fandemic was a play on words from Oscar's wife, Giovette, for Fandemic for Pandemic. So thought she was pretty clever with that.
Nice. Yeah. So you've got that website. Then you have the other one. You've got section419.com. And on there, you could shop by team: Eagles, Phillies, Sixers, Flyers, Union. What is Union? Is that a soccer?
The soccer. Team, yeah.
Okay. We could skip those. Just kidding. But you also have this new thing now. Boy, is there anything you don't do? Because you've got a coloring book you have here, Learning Baseball is Fun by Gregory Taylor. And it is a coloring book, I was going to say for kids, like it wouldn't be, but you know, there are adult coloring books these days.
Yeah.
So why not? An adult might want to color this. But tell us about this coloring book, Learning Baseball is Fun.
So Learning Baseball is Fun is, it came about with me trying to teach our six-year-old niece the rules of baseball. And she's always coloring all over the place. So I said to Allie, I'm like, I want to make a coloring book explaining the rules of baseball. It's about 15 pages. Each page has different characters on it that they can color. And it simply explains, you know, the positions. It simply explains the field. It simply explains the rules. And it's something that, again, I'm a big believer that, you know, baseball is for families. Baseball is great with family. Baseball is, you know, the game has been handed down to me from my grandfather to my uncles, you know, all the way through. So it's just another way. So how can I easily teach children about the game that I love so much? And how can they have a little bit of fun in the meantime?
And it looks like on this website, section419.com, that you are a prolific blog writer here.
Yeah. My day job affords me a lot of time to write tons of content. We try to keep up as much as possible. Again, it's something that, you know, I love to do. It's content creation has always been my thing. You know, I love doing it. So, you know, Grill John was spawned out of that. Fandemic Crew came from that. And definitely, you know, Section 419. So that, and, you know, Section 419 sells shirts for fan-based shirts. You know, when we hear it at the stadium, we try to put it on a shirt right away. Like, I think, like, last year, Mike Lorenzen threw his no-hitter in August, and we had a shirt out that evening. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, easy to do. I'm not new to do it. You know, I didn't invent that. Like, definitely the seven line. Uh-huh. At Yankee Stadium, like, I remember Bald Vinny was always hawking shirts in right field.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just one of the cool things about baseball, you know. You know, we can all share our passion and sometimes get a laugh. You know, we did do Philadelphia Pride shirts this year for June. Mm-hmm. We donated the money to Haddon Township Pride, mm-hmm. which is close to where we live here. So it's one of those things where, you know, we want baseball to be all inclusive. The Fandemic crew wants baseball to be all inclusive. We welcome everybody, you know, to the park and, you know, sit down there and talk baseball and behave accordingly.
Yeah. And I'm looking here and going through the articles. It looks like Aaron Nola has no love for the Mets.
No, he had no love for the Mets that day.
Well, I saw that. Okay, like, that's awesome. You're not going to like that.
Okay, I'll tell you this. Here, I'll let you on the inside of that. I'm all, you know, as a digital marketer, I practice a lot of SEO tactics, and that was the easiest way for me to tie those two search terms together.
yeah, I saw that. I said, Jeff, that. Jeff's not going to like that.
Leonard said, I'm not touching that one.
But I'm glad Jeff did.
Yes. Well, somebody had to, right?
Sure, of course.
Somebody had to, or else the comments on your podcast or Twitter are going to be like, who's this guy? And why is Aaron Nola say this? How come you guys didn't call this bum out?
Yeah. I like, and then rest in peace, Philly's Dollar Dog Night.
Yeah. Hey, you know, when people don't know how to behave, things get taken away, right? I mean,
what happened?
Dollar Dog Nights were, you know, I vouch to eat a hot dog for every run the Phillies would score that night. One night I left eating eight and I didn't feel so good. But what happens is people buy all these dollar hot dogs and they don't like a call or they don't like, you know, something else. And, you know, next thing you know, they're being thrown all over the place. So, you know, people are getting hit with hot dogs. And so, you know, nobody could kind of keep their act right in check. They don't do dollar hot dogs anymore. Now they're buy one, get one free hot dog nights, which... Uh-huh. I mean, it's still kind of a good deal, but, you know, I'm not going
to. Not a dollar. Yeah.
No, they're not a buck. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, Craig, how could you seem like a man's man. You're into baseball and barbecue. So we relate.
Yeah.
Hot dogs makes you feel ill. Joey Chestnut looks at you and says, ha, eight. Eight. I eat eight as a warm-up snack.
I don't know. Maybe he was sneaking vegan hot dogs in now. Isn't that the controversy? Right? Maybe. I tell you what.
Aaron Nolan's going to say, Joey Chestnut. F Joey Chestnut. That's what Aaron Nolan's going to say, right?
I'll send you some shirts. Well, I mean, you know, eight hot. I will admit, I ate three of them on the way to my seats. But the other five, you know, but it's. The lines are so long, so I was like, okay, I think they're going to score about eight, nine runs, so I bought nine hot dogs. So they're sitting with me all game. You know, you get to the seventh inning, and that dog has been sitting in the wrapper for a couple of, you know, an hour, you know. Thank God we have the pitch clock, or else, you know, God only knows how long they'd be in the wrapper.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it made me kind of ill the next day. So
We know what happens to a turkey leg at Citizens Bank Park when it's been sitting in the sun for a while.
Yeah, exactly.
With Bulls Barbecue. Yeah,
how's that work out?
It didn't.
isn't Bull's Barbecue fantastic?
Oh, absolutely. He makes his own sauce. Bull makes his own sauce.
Yeah, I mean, he's there all the time.
Yeah.
He's there all the time, shaking hands, signing autographs. My pregame ritual is I go in on the first base side and I walk the concourse and I walk to that Harry Callis statue. Every game, I give Harry Callis a fist bump, and Bulls is there. If the line's not too long, I jump in the line. But his Baltimore pit beef sandwich is phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, everything that they do there, you know, is just great. You know, and he and if you remember him playing, you know, he is a character larger than life. Still,
yeah.
You know, he told us that he would go home after a game. And it would be 1-2 in the morning and he'd be outside and his neighbors loved him because he'd be outside with he'd have his barbecue out and he'd just be cooking. Didn't matter.
Yeah.
What time it was.
I was told that Pete Rose used to take the subway to every game.
Really?
Pete Rose used to come and go from the subway because where Veterans Stadium was, it was right across the street from Citizens Bank Park. Where the parking lots are, where the there's a home plate out there. So it's close to the corner of Broad and Patterson over there where there's a subway line. So Pete Rose would take the subway before and after every game.
Yeah. There's a couple of Mets who did that who were unrecognizable. You wouldn't recognize them.
Right.
You know, like Mark Canna would take it to the game. Yeah.
That's super cool.
Yeah, it is. Have you ever been to Citi's Field? And if you have, how'd you like it?
I have not been to Citi Field.
Okay.
But I did go to Shea quite a bit growing up. Mm-hmm. I think that's, if you hear the music, that's the ice cream man.
That's by you. Okay.
That's the ice cream man coming down the street.
I'm ready to run out and get myself.
Yeah, exactly.
You want a bomb pop?
Yeah, please.
A drumstick bomb pop?
But we need some music on the air, so that's good.
Yeah. I used to go to Shea Stadium quite a bit as a kid out in Flushing, and it was always some memorable experiences going with my father, going with my uncles, I do have a couple of Met fans in the family that we would always go out there. I remember going out there, they used to do the celebrity softball game.
Okay.
Like later in the season. And I remember meeting the actor from Welcome Back, Kotter, who played Juan Epstein.
Ah, yes,
Juan Epstein. Somebody asked him for an autograph, and he said, can you write, sign it? Epstein's mother. you remember the show?
Yeah, sure.
Juan Epstein, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm dating myself a little bit, but yeah. No, I mean, no, that's
Mr. Kata. Mr. Kata.
That's right. Yeah. But yeah, I mean.
Robert Hedges.
Robert Hedges, yeah.
That's right, Robert Hedges. That's right. Get the big afro. That was, what a time that was,
Yeah.
But, I always have a lot of great memories going to the New York parks with my family. My barbecue story starts in my grandmother's backyard with the charcoal, as does my baseball story.
Uh-huh.
To me, they go hand in hand. On a afternoon when I'm outside firing up the grill or firing up the smoker, I have my portable speaker out there listening to the game. And, to me, baseball is one of the greatest sport on radio, first of all.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember lots of long car rides going down the shore as a kid, listening to Richie Ashburn and Harry Callis, or listening to Phil Rizzuto, was it Bill White who did
Bill
it?
All those guys.
And it was just soundtrack of, when I lived in California, I was lucky enough to, I would be able to catch the first three innings of, I wasn't never a Dodgers fan, but I would tune in every day to listen to Vin Scully. And that was just one of the great, one of the great American storytellers. So it all started in the backyard of my grandmother's house, talking baseball with my grandfather and my uncles, telling me about stories. Like I was talking to my uncle the other night, and he was telling me about how great Willie Mays was.
Yep.
And that's pre-me. That's like just pre-me. I introduced to the game in the mid-70s, basically. Mm-hmm. So, just what a showman, the original showman, and just, the original five-tool guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Greg, hot dogs. Here in New York, it's Nathan's Famous, right? And at the game, Nathan's. But I see Hatfield in Philly.
Yep, Hatfield dogs.
Yeah.
I tell you what, though, they're not Nathan's. They're not, nothing's like a Nathan's dog.
Okay.
Nothing's like a Nathan's dog. Hatfield is, they're good. They're good ballpark dogs. They're not a Dodger dog. They're not like a Yankee Stadium dog or Nathan's. But, they're a solid ballpark dog for sure.
And what's the best way to prepare them? But what are you topping them with?
Well, the first thing I do is before I grill them, I boil them in beer for a little bit.
Okay.
I don't know why. My father always did that. So it's just kind of tradition doing that. And then I'm going to go, typically I go chopped onion, maybe a little relish, and that's it. I'm not a mustard guy.
Okay. All right, that sounds. I would eat that. I would definitely eat that. I might eat eight of them.
Yeah. Well. Okay. I ate the eggplant because I didn't know. I didn't know how. I didn't know how long it was gonna until. I didn't know how long until it hit.
Greg, I have one more from me. I know this is a tough question and it might be controversial, but Pat's or Geno's?
Oh, you know what? I'm asked that all the time.
I'm sure.
The answer is neither.
Ah.
The answer is neither. The answer is my go-to spot is right by the ballpark. And next time you guys are down here, I'll take you. My go-to spot is Oregon Steaks. Oregon is on 9th in Oregon. Jimmy Rollins said that they were his favorite steak. And if I'm going to go a little bit out of my comfort zone, but I really want a good steak, I go to John's Roast Pork. And their cheesesteak is unbelievable. Angelo's Pizzeria, the Italian market also. Pat's and Gino's, they're good. They're the same, you know, but, you know, I'll be honest, I can get a better cheesesteak right down the street from my house in Jersey. The other spot, I'll tell you what, which is super controversial, is Donkey's Place in Camden. Now, Donkey's Place in Camden, they have, since it's a Jersey cheesesteak, it's on a Kaiser roll, not a long roll. That's my favorite spot, would be Donkey's. And it was Anthony Bourdain approved. He did the whole episode. Wow. Of being a Donkey's. So,
okay.
Yeah, well, the other two, I think, are touristy, right?
It is. That's why I said that.
He was checking me. He was making sure that
we got to check your Philly credentials.
Yeah, either that or Jeff was setting me up to be crucified on Twitter. What's this yo-yo? This yutz like these two? Like no. I wasn't born yesterday.
I think Jeff's been very nice. You know, Jeff, you've been very nice. You've been cordial to our guest. I like that. You know,
well, you know what? If Greg ever finds himself coming up to New York, we'll definitely take you to a Mets Phillies game. So come on.
I'd love it. Definitely. I mean, I know that we're going to have some meaningful ones down the stretch.
Yeah.
You know, where, you know, this race is not over. It's definitely a marathon, not a sprint. So I will definitely take you guys up on that.
Okay, absolutely. Before we end, Greg, why don't you tell us all your social media so people can get in contact with you and how they can reach you?
So you can reach me. My barbecue Instagram stuff is at Grilled John, and that's JAWN. And then personally, my Instagram would be and Twitter is at GR Taylor, the number 2. So GR Taylor 2. Feel free to reach out, ask me questions, be nice, please, or not. I don't know, but definitely reach out. You know, I'd love to engage and talk to as many people as possible who are fans of the show. I think you guys do a great job.
Thank you.
Especially tying two subject matters that really bring people together and really bring families together. You know, I'm all for it. So I think you guys do a great job.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad I found you. You know, you seem like a great guy. Baseball and barbecue, how wrong could you go? And thank you for being on the show.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I had a lot of fun.
Thank you very much, Greg. We are so grateful that you came on. And Jeff, you are showing such progress. Because you're a Met fan. We know that. But you have love, but you have love for other teams too, and so do I. But this is a team that's in the Mets division,
yeah,
a first place team actually. So you were very nice. Now, Greg, we really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. So thank you, Jeff. We've done a lot of show, haven't we?
We have.
So I want to just tell everyone that we are brought to you by Bet Online. It is where the game begins. But before we end the show, why don't you tell everyone about Fans for the Cure?
Go to fansforthecure.org. It's a great website dedicated to fighting prostate cancer. Everybody should go get tested. The website is run by Ed Randall, who has a show on SiriusXM on Saturday mornings, and he does a great job, and everybody should go and get yourself tested.
Absolutely. And I'm glad that we're including that in the show as a great public service announcement. And now, Jeff, we are, as I said, we're not beginning the show, we're ending the show, and we end the show with the great poet, and that is Shel Krakowski, the phenomenal musician, Dave Dresser, and the incredible song, Baseball Always Brings You Home.
And we'll see you next week on episode 248.
baseball.